Hi, Glenn.
Hello, Serge.
So you're an experiential therapist.
Yes. Again, as we have discussed, labels are very difficult. I mean, to conceptualize what I do or you do, we could say it's experiential because all therapy is about evoking or working with experiencing, right? What you are actually embodying and living and breathing in the moment, right? So, you could easily say I'm a somatic therapist in that way, or an embodied experiential therapist because we work with embodying. I would say also my model is more on what you might call the performative model, which means it's not just what we're telling, it's what we're showing, what actually shows in the client's body and energy field, and what I show and pick up, and how we interact in that field. That's part of what I would mean by experiential.
So we're not just about in the talking mode, and it's not about something, but it's about what happens experientially, somatically.
Yeah, so for example, when a client is, or anyone is talking, I'm not just paying attention to the content. In fact, often the content is sort of only the way in to sense what I would call embodied patterns. And embodied patterns are like the manner or the way in which we present ourselves, how we embody our being, or what self is speaking. Or what actually shows itself? Do people speak rapidly without pausing? Or do they pause all the time? Or do they seem ungrounded in their way of being?
So these embodied patterns, say, compared to some people in our community who only look in a way at the body itself. You look at the pattern, which includes the body pattern, but also the behavioral pattern.
Yes, as well as the energy pattern, the tone of voice, the micro movements. So if someone is speaking and then you feel a breath and you can feel a little bit of their body slumping, like, Now, again, as a pattern, I don't just look for moment-to-moment phenomena. I see it as something that has presented itself over and over and over again. So we're talking about people we work with over a period of months or years, right? Where we have this intimate connection. And in that connection, we can sense and feel the energy, right? Or what I would call the spirit flowing or being blocked. And we see it in these patterns, within the, even within the symptoms, right? So if someone says, "Oh, I just can't seem to get myself to do anything. I know I should exercise or whatever the thing is, right? I just can't seem to do it, right?" Now, as an experiential therapist, what we're doing is bringing the telling or the reporting into the moment so that it's a living moment, right? You're talking about it. I invite us to stay with, to wonder if we can get a sense, whether we visualize or embody, what actually happens when you try to do the thing, exercise, let's say.
So it's going back into that experience, bringing it into the present moment, living in it.
Living it, inhabiting it, embodying it. Sometimes it actually shows itself just by when they're talking about it, you can see what happens, but sometimes it doesn't. So we invite it. And I often say, I learn so much more when you actually show me and let us together observe what happens than just talking about what happens. So let's say they say, "Well, I try to do X or Y, but I just can't do it," right? I just something happens and you feel the energy drop. I say, "Oh." So I notice, and I could feel it in my body, that our energy drops. As if, let's stay with that feeling. Just stay with that awareness. See what happens. And they say,
Yeah.
"Oh."
So you're describing that the client is doing something, but you're not just, in a way, a neutral observer. It has an impact on you, and you observe it not just with the eye of a camera, but of somebody who is affected by it.
Absolutely. In fact, I think I've told you I use the term embodied engagement to highlight that it's a participation. We're engaging with what shows itself. And instead of, just saying, oh, that shows itself. I mean, sometimes that's appropriate too, of course.
But there is that attitude and that sense of the embodied engagement. So, an engagement also is means that there is something happening, but also there is a sense of there is a choice, there is an intentionality in order to have engagement. So that's very, very much part of the process.
Absolutely. And not only as the therapist am I or are we receiving, we certainly are, right? We listen and we receive with our whole body. So we're feeling it, we're resonating with it, we're letting it penetrate, right? And one of my principles is that I don't share back something until I've been affected by it. Otherwise, I'm just saying back words, right? Which this is what we were taught. You reflect back. The client says, "Oh, I was really feeling low the other day, really depressed," right? And you say back, "Oh, so the other day you were really feeling low and depressed," right?
So very important that stuff of the in a mechanical model, if you want, the reflecting is reflecting the words. And what we're talking about is that as a therapist, you let the words have an impact on you. And what you reflect is something that includes the impact it has on you as well.
Yes, the impact, but also to get a sense from the inside of what that might feel like, what kind of embodied pattern is showing itself through that, oh, I was feeling low. For example, if someone says, I feel really tired, right? I just don't have any energy. Now, the word tired could mean many things, right? I didn't get enough sleep. I'm working too hard, right? But it could also mean I'm sick and tired, right? It could also mean I'm just like run down or so depleted. It has very qualitative nuances, right? That we don't want to just gloss over, obviously. So that's what I mean. Impacted, but so tired. So I sense it, and I can maybe feel their body slump and my body slump. So I'm with them. I say, wow, I can feel it. It's sort of like maybe a heaviness. Like your body is like this, and I may even show it back. And they went, and as in much of focusing, we invite the client to resonate and correct, right? So,
And so I want to, maybe develop a little bit. You say we invite the client to maybe correct. So it's not because, as the therapist, we get into our own experience of what tired might mean, that it means that we got exactly what the client has. And in fact, we're bringing something back, which may be totally different from what the client has. So it's not about being right, but in fact, in having that engaged, embodied dialogue.
yes, and then often I will get a sense of or get the feedback, wow, now that I see you doing it, that's I can feel it even more. Or they may say, no, it's not quite like that. It's more like something else, and their shoulders may slump. I say, oh, like that. So we're resonating or playing back the whole body experience that's in that pattern.
And actually, maybe like the whole being experience, because it's not just the body.
Yes, that's very important. That's right. Because to me, when I say body, I mean the body of spirit and the body of energy, the body of feeling. It's not just, the physical body. But so tired, I feel tired is not just a physiological experience, right, of, you know, our brain is foggy because it didn't get enough oxygen or rest. It's a phenomenological experience, right,
mm-hmm.
that to me has something to do with our spirit, with our sense of vitality or energy or life force.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, through patterns, what I'm tracking really is the movement of energy and spirit through the living body.
Yeah.
So you can actually feel, there's a term I like, which is called enervated, which means a loss of energy or a fatigue. And it actually means cut. So I look for places where the energy flow is cut, literally where it leaks out. And these are the patterns that have usually been embodied early in life, usually as some result of trauma or, you know, childhood abuse or environmental, right,
mm-hmm.
deprivation or neglect or intrusion or something like that, where the body forms around a pattern to survive. But within that pattern, the energy is... it's behind that. I'll give you an example of that.
Yeah.
So often, like I said before, what we're tracking are these patterns, the way the material is presented. Just as one concrete example, one embodied pattern, right, that I call someone who is trying, right? I'm trying to do better. And you can feel in that, at least I could, you know, kind of a little boy's energy, right? Saying, I'm really a good boy, and I'm trying to do good, right? And, you know, I knew something, obviously, about this client's background, which was anything but good or nice. But so as we sense this whole postural event with the gesture of his hand reaching out and the energy, in me, I felt like that's one pattern in which his life force or spirit has gotten stuck or trapped or embedded. So I invited us to just spend time with it. I don't suggest that. I just say, can we sense that pattern? I feel it's very important or significant. So he does that, takes a breath. Wow, you know, this takes me back all the way to when I was like 5 years old or something. I remember my father was so abusive, right? So violent that I was just pleading, don't hit me, right? And he would have this, see, I'm good, Daddy, right? I did good, right? And, you know, Big Daddy, you know, whatever, you know, would sort of let him off the hook, right? At the same time, it was a way of being good. See, I'm being good. I'm getting strokes, you know. And as we stayed with that, right, that life stance or pattern was, he said, that was how I survived. I just had to keep appearing like I was trying, right? So it took him all the way back.
Yeah.
And then I invited, as we both embodied that and felt it and had compassion. So, I mean, we're doing this quick, but each moment lasts. So this what I'm sharing now might have taken 15, 20 minutes just for that, just to stay slowly with that. Let it unfold. That's the experiential part. And then as we did, he said, I can feel something underneath that. And so I invited us to stay with the underneath. And what emerged was this undercurrent of rage, right? Of vital energy that really wanted to tell his dad, you know, to fuck off or get off my case, leave me alone, get, you know, but he couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So as we sense that, some of his energy, and anger was always very, very much of a no-no because that reminded him of his violent dad. So, you know, he basically split off that, what I call part of his spirit, right, though. To generate energy. And we're not talking about behavior, obviously, but energy, right?
And just want to comment that what you're doing is an excellent description of the sense of the word unfold, because it's staying with the experience. And as you stay and not just put a check mark to categorize it, say, oh, this is that experience moving on. But the staying allows you to progressively see more of it. And that's what that unfolding is.
Absolutely. Yes. In fact, that's one of the hallmarks of this recovery process, is that the unfolding in its sweep takes in more and more. So it may start with just a little bit, right? And then as we go on, it gathers up more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, we get closer to our wholeness or our core. But here, this is just a moment of what I've called the recovery of spirit. Because in that moment, and I don't mean just a moment like a moment in time, but that event brought to awareness both the pattern, the outer pattern that was lived out, his persona or outer self, as well as this inner being, right? The undercurrent, the energy. And so we made space for both. That's an important part. Nothing gets eliminated. There's no bad anything. You know, so we say, yes, this one place we can appreciate how much, you know, it's helped you survive. By accommodating and trying, you know, wanting to be better, not get hit or in trouble. And there's also this other place underneath it, right? That really doesn't like being dominated or, you know, whatever the energy. And so that's, so then the final aspect of that is that we take time to embody all of it. Can we just be with and let our body inhabit the space to feel all of that.
So maybe you can describe that a little bit more, that taking the time to let the body, you know, embody all of it.
Sure. And I'm also doing the same thing, Serge. So it's not that I'm telling the client, you do it back here. No, we're both, and I often use we. Can we both just appreciate or really honor this moment?
Yeah, yeah. So really, it's a sense that the processing, it's the client brings something, and then it's a space where the client and the therapist are working together and processing this something with their different experiences.
Yes, absolutely. And so the process of embodying can be, can we just, I might guide them into just feeling their body again, grounding, feeling our feet. You know, or breathing deeply, making space, you know, and sometimes a gesture or a postural shift happens and we say, can we just stay with that awareness? So whatever has emerged in the process, we kind of take some time, whether it's 10 seconds, a minute, 10 minutes, whatever we need, to sense that we have it in a bodily way, that we feel live it, and we breathe it, right? And we honor it. We feel that new energy coming, that undercurrent.
Yeah. So it's consciously living in that embodied pattern, and consciously living in it in a way that it acquires meaning, or its meaning is revealed, or we're in connection with its meaning.
Yes, and with the energy that's underneath it. Sort of spirit that is calling out from within that. The other part that I didn't mention that I just wanted to mention before I forget is not only am I receiving, but I'm also transmitting. So my body is also engaged in a way that's, whether I'm conscious of it or not, is actually transmitting something. What I mean by that is I truly, like with this client, felt the underlying energy or spirit in his being. You know, I feel where the dispiritedness is, where the energy gets blocked or, you know. And I sort of the image I have is sort of provide a groundwork for it. This client and others have said, you know, I don't know exactly what it is you're referring to, but I really believe and feel in that your heart is in it, and I trust you enough to know there is another dimension here that I'm just starting to touch on, and I know it's there because I can feel it in you, in me, and when you share with me, I feel your sincerity and your caring, you know, so we're also transmitting, which I don't think happens in just a neutral, you know, sort of cut off distant space.
So maybe that part about, again, the phrase embodied engagement, a dimension of engagement, it's to say engagement is also the opposite of neutral. Because there is that caring and that presence.
Yes, absolutely. But it is important also to say that I am neutral with regards to what happens. In other words, this is not like a performance test where they have to please me by going to a certain dimension, repeating an old pattern. So I am neutral and very accepting and completely okay with whatever happens, including if it seems like nothing happens, right? If the client says, well, I don't know what that other dimension is, I have no idea. I say, okay, it's all right. And you were saying, I just go on. You know, I don't get stuck on any particular, I don't have any agenda, you know, or intention. This all emerges from the engagement with the person, with the
living. Yeah. So that's an important distinction. There is an engagement as opposed to an agenda. And the two, you know, you have an engagement without an agenda. The two things are not.
That's right.
Interrelated.
In fact, in what I call dispiritedness, or dispirited process, there's often a place in the client that has an agenda. Like they may have a critical or a hard taskmaster that's trying to get them or another part of them to move, get going. Why can't you get better in the world? Do it, right? Now, if we align with that place, right, then the therapy becomes a pressure, in other words, to have some external success. And often when that doesn't happen, right, then the client and me sometimes both feel dispirited. Like, oh, we're not getting anywhere, right? But it's a very subtle thing that if we're engaged, we want to really be aware of the felt sense or the feeling of pressure, right? Oh, something is, you know, like, it's trying to get somewhere, if you see what I'm getting at.
So, you know, in a way it pervades. It's not just the client is, but it pervades the space that's shared by the client and the therapist. And then when it's there, very interesting choice of word, dispirited, sucks the spirit out of the situation.
No, absolutely. That's a good way to say it, you know. I've looked back on certain clients I've worked with where I felt like we had a pretty good connection, right? Everything was good. And then nothing seemed to happen, and then not only that, they dropped out. And I always like to examine those situations. Say, well, what happened? And invariably, this is part of the dynamic, that there was a place in them that was pressuring. And I could feel the pressure, and I felt under the sway of the pressure. So I would try things to get, you know, well, let's try this. Oh, maybe we'll do this, right? Instead of just absorbing the feel of pressure and just naming, I feel there's a lot of pressure here in the room. I don't know what it is, but I just feel it. And I've always found if you don't do that, if you don't name it and embody it, then it's as if like the elephant or the aura in the room isn't being acknowledged, you know what I mean? And it will suck the life or the spirit out of, for example, just being present. In the moment, it's breathing, right? You know what I mean? So you're right. This, my main interest now is in what I call dispiritedness or dispirited process. See how and where the body loses or is suppressed or is split from its wholeness and its vitality, its innate life force. Sometimes you call it the body of infancy, you know, the infant body that was alive and open, right, and engaged and embodied and energized and had awe and enchantment and joy and would cry and have tantrums, and right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that naturalness, of course, we all lose through our conditioning, traumas, et cetera, et cetera. So really, the undercurrent of all my work is to restore something of that vibrancy, something of that energy, something of that capacity to feel, to have depth, right? And that's why tracking those embodied patterns to me is so important, because it's within those that we sense how the life force or spirit has been sort of caught in a certain form, right? That's where it's not dead. It's just living, you know what I mean, within it.
Yeah, but so it's a little bit like it's caught in a loop. It's caught in a vortex. It's you know, it's not able to continue to keep unfolding.
That's right. Yeah, you could say it's stuck, locked, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why if you work just with the body, but not the body of spirit, or the body of energy, or the body of, right, of feeling or understanding and all of that, then you're only working with one part of this whole process that I was describing.
Yeah, and so, again, in the phrase, the body of energy, there is a sense of process, you know, that it's not just a static thing, but it's something, and there's an interaction, and it's a way the interaction takes place. So we really are talking in terms of process.
Yes, and also you could say something that's invisible, but we can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
For just very quickly, you know, if you say, oh, that person, he's a warm person. He exudes a warmth. We don't literally mean that he's exuding heat from his body, right?
I mean, right.
But we mean that other thing, right? A soul quality or a felt quality or a sense of spirit. But that person seems very like, you know, he wouldn't say depressed, right? Their energy just feels low, right? So, you know, this whole thing about using chemicals and neurology really misses the point, in my estimation or experience. That's true. There can certainly be correlates neurologically, right, and chemically in the brain. But the body of energy or spirit is invisible. It has no direct, it's intertwined with our physical body, but it's not exactly.
Yeah, and so it's interesting because when we put it in these terms and that notion of the process, then it's something that also it's understanding better that we don't get to know it in a way by observing something the way, say, you observe a square or geometry and, you know, something that's an object. But it's by interacting with it that you come into contact through your own experience with the process of that person that you get into through your own process.
Yes, I think that's well said. And the other term I would use is inhabiting it or embodying it. In other words, learn through embodiment, through inhabiting the space. So if something feels dispirited, we learn it or know it through being it. Let yourself be with that. So it's a going with something rather than trying to fight it or oppose it or correct it.
Mm-hmm.
Another form of the experiential process, I think, is, right? We go and we get to know its life energy. We get to know what's made it feel so low. Where is the vital force? What's happened? And often the body patterns will bring us exactly to that place, event, scene, or environment where it was broken. It's really astounding how that happens. You know, you'll see a certain posture or this pattern I mentioned earlier. And when you stay with it, very, very often we'll get a memory or a sense of, oh, I know what that is, or oh, that takes me back to that time with my mom when, or oh yeah, that's I've had that stance my whole life. I've always felt like an alien or an outsider, or or a client talks very fast and they'll say, oh, that yeah, that's kind of like when I was a kid and I was wandering around the streets, you know, because I had no home. So anyway, you get the idea.
So really, I mean, in a very simple way, a very basic way, we're staying with the experience, and not, you know, trying to escape it by labeling it, but really staying with curiosity about the texture of the experience, the feeling of the experience, and noticing it. And there is a processing that's enhanced by having both the client and the therapist being in a similar process. And that's what allows the experience to unfold and to for us to make sense of it.
Yes, and you can see, as you're saying, in this process, many things, many vectors intersect there. It's actually quite similar to when Freud first talked about the repetition compulsion or the compulsion to repeat. He said that, you know, the patient repeats in action what they do not remember, basically. And this is, I think, what we're referring to. He didn't refer to that, but we would, that we repeat in our behavior, in our patterns, that which has become so ingrained or embodied, right, that we don't remember it, but the body knows it because it's living it, you know, every day.
And so we complete the pattern.
What was that?
We complete the pattern.
That's right.
Making sense of it.
Yes, and or letting it live further.
So as we're coming to the end of this conversation, does it feel like a good place to end, or is there something you want to add?
Well, only that. I think what we touched on many of the important areas, Serge, so I'm happy about that. Of course, the profoundness of it and the depth of contact, right, is hard to convey. You know, the true experiential living it out together, you know, that cannot be taught but only can be felt, is so key to this process, you know. So that's the only other thing I wanted to add. I don't know if that would come through in an interview, you know, in our interview, that it's the depth of engagement and caring and hanging in there and being present and you know, is something that you can't teach.
Yeah.
You can only feel it. It's like when your soul is called to this kind of work, right? Then there's something qualitatively different there than when you feel it that way. At least I have found that.
So.
Just wanted to add that. But no, that other than that, it feels complete. Very good.
Thanks, Glenn.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This conversation was hosted by Serge Pringle. It is part of a series, Somatic Perspectives on Psychotherapy. All conversations are archived on the web at somaticperspectives.com.